God is invisible in his essence. You can't see him. But God wanted to be seen and known and experienced on a human level. And so the Word became flesh, according to John 1:14, and dwelt among us. And the only begotten God, who's in the bosom of the Father, hath revealed him, John 1:18, that Jesus Christ is the revelation of God in human terms, made possible by the virgin birth. Today I want to talk to you about another name of Jesus, probably my favorite. The context is Jesus declaring that those who believe in him would never die. And they can't believe Jesus is talking like this, the religious leaders, and say, whose authority can you say that? I mean, they say, look at Abraham. He lived 2,000 years ago. He died. All the prophets died. Who do you think you are? You're a demon. You're right from the devil talking crazy like that. Jesus tells him, no, I ain't the crazy one. No, it's not me. I know the Father. And if I said that he's not going to die, who believes in me, he's not going to die. They say, but wait a minute. Abraham, our father, died. You're not even 50 years old. He died 2,000 years ago. On what basis can you make such a crazy statement, such a demonic statement about death, and you're not even 50 years old? And that's when Jesus gives us our name for today, and it is a doozy. Jesus looks at them and says, he says to them in verse 58, truly, truly, show enough. I say to you, before Abraham was born, so we can skip the death part, I'm going to start off at the birth. Before Abraham was born, I am. The name we're going to talk about today is the name I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. It says when they heard him say that in verse 59, they picked up stones to kill him. Why would you kill him for such a statement? Because they knew what he was saying. If he just wanted to talk about predating Abraham, then he would have said, before Abraham was, I was. But he doesn't say before Abraham was, I was. He says before Abraham was, I am. That sent them into the ionosphere of anger so that they sought to kill him because they knew what he was saying. You see, Jesus, in identifying his name, bypasses Abraham and jumps to Moses. To understand the phrase, I am, you have to go back to Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Because they knew that that is what Jesus was referring to. So when you go back and let the Bible interpret the Bible, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, we read these words. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am have sent you. So the reason they were throwing rocks at Jesus when he declared his name to be I am was because they knew that he was using the term God used to define himself to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. So they knew Jesus was declaring himself to be the God who actually talked to Moses. To which they were saying, you have lost your mind. Because you are telling us that you are the one who was talking to Moses. Now, we've already dealt with Jesus' name, the Word of God. He is the spokesperson for the Trinity. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in creation, the Bible says, God created the heavens and earth, and then it says, and then God said. Well, when it says, and then God says, it means Jesus was now talking. Because he is the voice, the communicator, the Word of the triune God. So what Jesus is saying in John 8 is when God was talking to Moses, I was the one speaking. Because I am did the talking. I'm coming. So the question is, what does I am mean? I mean, you ask somebody their name and they tell you, my name is I am. Because that's what Moses said. What shall I tell them is your name? He says, you tell them I am that I am have sent you. So I know you're asking now, what kind of name is that? We call this in theology the tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton is a theological statement that simply means the four letters. I am is made up of four letters. All four letters are consonants with no vowels, which made it unpronounceable. You couldn't pronounce it because it was all consonants with no vowels. It was God's use in identifying himself with four consonants that you could never say. So therefore, his name was viewed by Israel as the unspeakable name because there was no way to recite the four consonants. In order to talk about God, what they did was they took vowels from the Hebrew word Adonai, which means boss or supervisor or manager, and they took the vowels and they put it with the four consonants so that you can now say the word Yahweh. So Yahweh are the four consonants with the vowels from Adonai so they could speak the name. When the name Yahweh got translated in the English, it is Jehovah. So Jehovah, God, is Yahweh Hebrew, which is the tetragrammaton, four letters, with some borrowed vowels. God has 85 names in the Old Testament, approximately 85 names. Each name is designed to describe a different element of who God is or what God does. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the name Elohim, the strong one, the creator God. When God wanted to relate to his creation, he gave a new name. That is the name Yahweh, or the tetragrammaton with the vowels added to it, which we call Jehovah. Now, to understand what is going on here, God is now relating to man and using his name. So when you read your Bible and you see the name God, you have to look at the spelling to know which Hebrew word he's talking about. If you see G-O-D, that's generally Elohim, the creator God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. If when you read your Bible, you see capital L, small o, small r, small d, that is generally Adonai, boss, manager, supervisor, the one who's in charge. When you read your Bible and you read the letter capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is generally Yahweh, the covenant-keeping, relatable God. So when God wanted to relate to man, he took the name Yahweh, the four letters with the vowels, giving us Yahweh from the letters that you couldn't pronounce, which we now say Jehovah, because God wanted to relate to man. So we should not be surprised that Jesus took God's relational name to explain who he was to people since he left heaven to relate to mankind. So, the question is, what does I am mean? First of all, I am is personal, I. So when you get a personal pronoun, that tells you that this is a person talking. So when God uses this name, he is saying to you, I want to relate to you person to person. I am not only interested in being the big Mahath way up there, I want to talk to you down here where you live. Because you are you, and I'm an I. In other words, we can communicate. Not only is he personal, but he's personal in the present tense. I am. Not I was, nor I will be. I am. So let me tell you something about God's name. God has no past, and he has no future. He has no yesterday, and he has no tomorrow. Everything about God is now. It's in the present tense. You and I can't relate to that because we live life linearly. That is, we go from 1 to 10, A to Z, beginning to end, first to last. That's how we live life because we live life in time and space. But God lives outside of time and space. Now, you can't appreciate that now. You will be when you go to heaven, because if you're a believer and therefore you're going to heaven, then you're going, there'll be no night there. There'll be no need for the sun, the Bible says. You won't go to sleep. There'll be no nighttime. There'll be no need to rest because you have a new glorified body that'll never get tired. And everything for forever will be now. Okay? So you will live as God lives in an eternal now. Now, if something is in an eternal now, it's always fresh because it's right now. Okay? See, if it's yesterday, it's not fresh because you've already been there. If it's tomorrow, it's just hope because you haven't gotten there yet. But if it's now, you're going through it right now. So you can't imagine what God can have in store for you and me when now meets now and everything becomes an experience because it's all right now. So you're going bam, bam, bam because it's all happening now. All right? So that is beyond our human comprehension. However, Jesus says, I am the I am, okay? So the first thing is he's a person. Second thing is he's present tense. So everything is now. Now, the reason why I'll throw this in, the reason why this is important is that means whatever God has prophesied in the future, we're waiting on, he's not waiting on. That's why you can bank on anything that God says that has not happened yet that he declares will happen, because as far as he's concerned, it's now. Okay? So he's not waiting like we are waiting. We are waiting for fulfillment of what is now in his reality. Okay? Because we're talking about another reality. Of course, Jesus is saying, I am. Well, he doesn't just say, I am. He says, I am that I am. He talks about himself twice in the I am signature. Why is he saying I am that I am? Number one, it means that God is, he is who he declares himself to be. That's very important. I am that I am. In other words, I define me by me. I am that I am. So why do you need to know that? Because what that means is I am not what you want me to be. I am not what you demand that I be. I am who I am. I is who I is. Okay? What he is saying is, I am self-defining. I define me by me. I do not define me by every... You ever have anybody in your life who tells you who you are? Who tries to tell you who you are? And you'll say in a minute, you don't know me. You might even roll your neck, you know. You don't know me. Because they are giving their perspective on who you are, but they only know a portion of who you are. So in order to find out who God must tell you, because he is who he is, he is not who you may want him to be. A lot of misconceptions about God because men want to define him in man's terms. And he says, no, I am who I am. Now, because he is who he is, and he's defined by himself, and everything is now, that means he is who he is eternally. Because he always lives in the same state of being. So he is an eternal being. Well, who did Jesus say he was? He says, before Abraham was, not I was, I am. So Jesus Christ declares himself to be an eternal being. Not only is he an eternal being because he is who he is an eternal being because he is who he is, and the Bible says, and he changes not. That's very important. He is not only who he is consistently who he is. He is what he's always been, and he is what he always will be. That's why the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. That's why the Bible says God does not change. In his nature, he cannot change because he is who he is. Now, you can't say that. I can't say that. You can't say you are who you are because you are not now what you used to be. You used to be a baby. Now you're an adult. You used to be this and now you're that. You used to have hair. Now you don't. You used to look good. Now you don't. I mean, you cannot declare yourself to be changeless. You are in an ever-changing mode. God does not change, listen to this, because he does not need anything outside of himself to keep him going. He's self-generating. The sun doesn't have to look for fire to stay hot, and water doesn't have to look for moisture to be wet. It's built into the nature of the thing. It's built into the nature of God to be who he is and to forever be that way because he changes not. Now, somebody may say, but doesn't the Bible say God repented, that God changed his mind? Even though James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from the Father of light in whom there is no shifting shadow. He does not change. Yet the Bible talks about him changing his mind or changing this or changing that. Let me help you with that. God does not change in his essence, but he will change in his methods. That is, he doesn't do the same method, but he stays the same person even when he changes his methodology. Okay? That's why he does some things in the Old Testament that he doesn't do in the New Testament. And one of the main things that affirms whether he's going to change or not are the changes we make. That is, the adjustments we make will affect how he relates to us, not because he's changed, but because we've related to a different part of his person. The sun does not change. The earth rotates around the sun. The earth rotates around the sun. Half the earth right now is dark. Half the earth right now is light. The reason that half the earth is dark is not because the sun has moved, but because the earth is turning. And because the earth is turning, things look like they're changing. When the sun is not budged, it is earth that has adjusted. So when people adjust to God, it may look like God is changing, but God has not changed. He's just responded to the fact that you have turned. That's why repentance is so important to experience God. It means you got to turn if you want to experience more of God. Because if you're not turning right, then you're not experiencing the side of God that you want to experience. He says, I am who I am. I am defined by myself. I am self-defined. I do not have to go outside of myself for anything. You are only you because there is a mother and a father. In other words, if there was nothing outside of you, you wouldn't be you. Let God take away the oxygen, you still won't be you. Because you and I are dependent outside of ourselves to exist. Food and clothes and breathing and living and houses. And everything about you depends on something that's not directly you in order for you to still be you. because you are not self-contained. Therefore, you are not independent. That's why God hates independence. He hates independence because the moment you become independent, you're saying, I am self-contained and I'm self-sufficient, to which God says, no, you're a fool. Okay? The moment you develop self-sufficiency, which basically is pride and independence, you have now become an enemy of God because God knows better. Actually, you know better, but you don't want to admit it. I know better too. He says, I am, that it is my view of me that you should be dealing with. So God is the I am, totally self-contained, self-sufficient, personal, in the present being who wants to communicate with you. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. So when you are talking about Jesus, you're talking about the God who speaks in the Old Testament. You're talking about the eternally created God who became a man. And his name is I Am, the eternally present one. Now, having established that, that God lives in the eternal now and Jesus claims to be that God, there are seven I Ams in the book of John. Seven times Jesus says, I am about something. So he brings now the theological concept that I just went over down to everyday life. Seven times. So let's do a brief scan through the seven so that you can see how I am, what I am means to you. I mean, you know, we go around saying it is what it is. You know, everybody wants to say that. It is what it is. Okay. God's the only one who can really say that. Okay. Because the only thing you know that is the is that you are aware of. God is the aware of all the is possible. All right? So I am that I am. So let's look at the seven concepts of I am in the book of John and see why they matter and then talk about you and me today. John chapter 6, verse 35 is the first of the seven I ams. And Jesus says in John 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. In verse 41, he says, therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. I am the bread of life. He's talking about the Old Testament in the wilderness when the bread of life came down from heaven called manna. Manna in Hebrew is a question. It means, what is it? Well, depending on where you're from, what it is. But it was a question. What is it? Why would God send cornflakes from above? They were little wafers that floated down from heaven, literally angel food. And it floated down from heaven and they ate it 6 days of the week. And they called it, what is it? Manna. The reason they called it, what is it? Question is because they had to answer the question. And the answer to the question of what is it? It was the supernatural provision of God for his people from heaven. Verse 41 says, I am the bread of life, come down from heaven. So what Jesus is saying is, what God fed you physically in the wilderness, my job is to feed you spiritually in your day-to-day life. Just as when your body gets hungry, it needs a supply of bread, your soul gets hungry and it needs a bigger supply of me. Do you know what it is to have hot bread come out the oven when you are hungry and you get some butter and jelly on that thing and it just satisfies your gizzard? I mean, it satisfies you deep down within. Jesus is saying, just as your stomach needs to be satisfied with food, your soul needs to be satisfied with life. And I am your bread. I am your satisfaction for eternal life, and I am your substance for living this life. So if you don't eat me, that's why he says in this passage, drink my blood and eat my flesh. If you don't absorb me into your life you will live with a hungry soul. Many of the problems people are facing today is because their souls are starving, even if their bellies are full. Many of the defeats, the addictions, the relational crisis that people are facing today is because they have empty souls while they have full bank accounts. They've got empty souls while they've got credit cards. They've got empty souls while they got houses and cars and this. But they can't get their souls filled, so they stay miserable. And here's Jesus is saying, I tried to tell you my name. My name is I Am, and I am the bread of life. It is me who's designed to fill you spiritually, and nothing else you do can do that. No place you can go, no person you can talk to can be spiritual bread for your soul, which is the essence of yourself. I am the bread of life, and he brings in the incarnation because he says, and I've come down from heaven, which means I was already existing in heaven before I came down to you as bread. So I pre-existed up there, I came down here, and one of the reasons I came is to feed somebody. Somebody who recognized, that's why the Bible says, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. You know, one of the reasons why we have starving souls is because we're not hungry enough. Okay? So he says, I am the bread. Secondly, chapter 8, verse 12. Let me go back. I don't want to miss one of the 70. Chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Ooh, I love this. Jesus says, I'm the bread. I feed you, but I'm also the light. I'll illuminate you. Okay. When the sun rises in the morning, that's illumination because you can see. The darkness goes away and now you can see straight because now you have light. Jesus says, if you will follow me, I'll let you see where you're going. Because a lot of us don't know where we're going. The proof that a lot of us don't know where we're going is we keep going down wrong streets, wrong alleys, and making bad decisions. So we don't know where we're going. But Jesus says, if you will follow me, I will give you light so that you can see the right decisions to make, see the right people to connect with, see the right direction to go. I will be your light, but you got to be following me because if you go on your way and I'm going another way, you're going to get lost and you will be in darkness. And one of the worst things in the world is to be blind and not know it. Because when you're blind and not know it, that means you're trying to make it on your own and you're tripping all over the place, running into everything and bumping into everybody. He says, but if you let me be the illumination of your life, then you will find the way to go. So if you're here today and you don't have direction or clarity, but you definitely want it and you want it from God, he says, you got to follow me. You got to find out what I say, what I think, and you got to do that. Regardless of what your peeps say, regardless of what your posse says. And here's the big one. Regardless of what you think. Okay, let me say a word about that. You look at the TV shows and the talk shows, whether it's news or reality TV or some of these crazy people on television. And I want you to count all the times you hear, I think. Well, in my opinion, let me save you some time. If you will start with what God thinks, number one, you won't have to deal with what everybody else thinks. You'll save yourself some time, some headache, some heartache, because the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So, when I hear all this, I think. Well, my opinion is, well, my mama told me. Well, my daddy told me. Well, this is what my friend said. This is what my BFF says. Yeah. You know, babble by the hour. Jesus says, if I could just get you to start with me, you could save a lot of that heartache, headache, frustration, aggravation, irritation, and exacerbation. I am the light. Then he goes to chapter 10. And by the way, when light dispels darkness, the good news of that is that that meant that there was darkness that needed to be dispelled. So if you're right now and confused, you're a great candidate for light. If you've been walking and trying to find your way and still can't find, you are a great candidate. You are the perfect person God is looking for, because hopefully you see you need light. Chapter 10, verse 7. Truly, truly, sure enough, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Shepherds had a gate, the door where the sheep could enter. And he says, if you come through me, verse 9, if anyone, somebody say anyone, because that means includes you. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Okay, he'll go to heaven, but that's not all. He will go in and out. He'll find freedom, and he'll find pasture. I'll satisfy him. He says, if you come through me, if you stop going around me, if you stop going over me, under me, stop skipping me, if you will make your way via me, because I am the door, I am not only the door to save you for eternity, but I am the joy to give you in and outness, freedom in history, and I am the door to bring you satisfaction for your life. Now tell me, who else can give you that for free? All three. Because my name is I Am. And so I am the fullness of life. That's why verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I not only came that you might have life, but you would have super life. Super life is fullness of life. Super life is more than just being here. Super life is more than I'm trying to get by. Super life is more than I'm trying to make it. Abundant life means fully realizing what God wants done in your life. But he says, you got to come through this door, because I'm the door. The next I am, he says in chapter 10, verses 11 and 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's the cross. 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Oh, he says, I'm the good shepherd. A shepherd, he opens the door for the sheep, but a shepherd does something else. He watches over the sheep. See, a shepherd is responsible for the sheep. This goes back to our whole theology we've been trying to teach all of us on, that God is your source. God is your source. Because God is now takes responsibility for sheep that are walking in his fold. But now, if you're a sheep called a fool, because the Bible says sheep are the dumbest animals created. They're dumb. Let me tell you how dumb sheep are. Sheep are so dumb that when one sheep starts walking in a circle, the other sheep will follow it, thinking they're all going somewhere. And they just going in a circle, see? And that's how dumb sheep are. That's why the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray, okay, and gone to our own way. He says, but if you will hang out in my fold, because I'm open the door, so you can come in, and I'm the good shepherd, I know what I'm doing. This ought to take you to Psalm 23, because Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. And if you'll check in your Bibles, when you read Psalm 23, you'll read capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh, Jehovah. In other words, he's saying the I am is my shepherd. Jesus is saying, I'm that I am of Psalm 23. And when you go down Psalm 23, he says, if I am your shepherd, I will take care of your directional life, because he leads me in the paths of righteousness. I'll take care of your spiritual well-being, because he makes me lie down on green pastures. I'll take care of your emotional being, so when you walk through the valley, you will fear no evil. I'll take care of your physical being, because he anointed my head with oil and my cup runneth over. And then on top of all that, I'll take care of your eternal being. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if God is the great I am, he got your back spiritually, physically, emotionally, okay, psychologically, socially. He got your back if he's your shepherd. Notice it says, the Lord is my shepherd. So this is a personal thing. He can't just be I am. He got to be your I am. He's got to be your source. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I know what I'm doing. Let's keep going. Chapter 11, verse 25. It's good stuff. He says in chapter 11, verse 25, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Lazarus has just died. Jesus let him die. And Martha goes to, watch this now, theology. Because in the previous verse she says, I know he'll rise again on resurrection day. I've been to church. I've read my theology books. I know he'll rise again because that's what I learned in theology class, Bible class. Jesus says, oh, well, you don't have all the theology. Sister girl, I am the resurrection. Okay. In other words, theology will give you information. That's called the milk of the word. The milk of the word is information that God has revealed. So when you study the Bible, no matter what the subject is, when you study the Bible, that's information. You go to Bible class, you come to church, you hear the sermon, that's data, which is the milk of the word. The milk of the word gets you started, but it doesn't take you to growth. He says you got to move from the milk to the meat of the word. And the meat of the word is taking the milk of the word and using it in life. When the milk is utilized, it then gets to become meat, or what he calls solid food. That's why people can go to church every week, 52 Sundays a year, 52 Wednesdays a year, and see no change take place in their life because they're banking on information. And the milk will not give you, it gets you started, but you got to graduate to meat, and milk only goes to meat when utilized. When utilized. And so it is the use of milk that turns it to meat. And Jesus says, the meat is you experiencing me, not merely being able to quote verses about me. You quoted me, the theology, Martha. Let me tell you what the theology is designed to show you. It's designed to show you who I am. Or as Jesus says in John chapter 5, the scriptures are speaking to drive you to me. So if your information doesn't grow to a relationship, then it is data that'll keep you in a crib. So you can be a 30-year-old Christian dressed in diapers. Spiritual babies and infants, even though you go to church every week, because it's unused milk that has never been grown to meat, so that you experience the I am and not just the information. And he says to Martha, he says, I need to explain something to you, girl. When it comes to dying, you don't need theology, you need somebody. You know, when you're sick, you don't need a medical book, you need a doctor. When you're in trouble, you don't need a law book, you need a lawyer. When you're being accosted, you don't need a penal code, you need a policeman or a policewoman. In other words, you need the incarnation of the book. Jesus is the incarnation of the word. And so he says, if you let the word drive you to me, then the reason you're going to get up out that grave when everybody else says you're dead is because of me. Not just some theology about me. It will be that relationship that will make the difference. Okay, let's keep going. He says, now in chapter 14, verse 6, got two more. Chapter 14, verse 6. He says, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. Number one, I am the way. I know where I'm going. Most of us hope we know where we're going. We desire to go somewhere with our life, with our career, with our plans. Jesus says, I know the way. You don't have to guess. I'm GPS all over, all up in here, all up in here. I know where I am going. I know the way to eternity first, and then the way for living your life. That's what he concludes with. I am the truth, okay? Don't misread this. I'm not a truth, okay? I'm not one among many truths, okay? That goes back to I think stuff. I'm not a truth. I am the truth. Got people walking around here talking about, I know my truth. I know my truth. No, unless your truth agrees with the truth, you believe in a lie, and the lie is you. Many people are believing a lie because it's real to them. No, you need objective truth. Look, one and one, last time I checked, is two. One and one is two if you're black or if you're white or if you're Indian or if you're Hispanic. One and one is two whether you're rich or whether you're poor. One and one is two whether you live in America or whether you live in South Africa. Because one and one equaling two is a mathematical equation that is an absolute standard of the discipline. It is just the way it is. But let's say I ain't into one and one being two. I think one and one is three. My mama told me one and one is three. All my people believe one and one is three. So I'm going to live my life with one and one being three because that's my truth. Your truth is going to keep you poor because as long as you insist on not having an objective standard outside of you that dictates to you, you will be confusing you and anybody else to whom you give that information who do not believe in an absolute standard for the definition of marriage, an absolute standard for the definition of life, the absolute standard of a man versus a female, the absolute standard of justice operating in a society, an absolute standard. So we spending 250 years, I think. We got a whole Congress thinking and accomplishing nothing because there is no absolute standard by which reality is to be defined and measured. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the absolute standard by which reality is measured. So save yourself some time. Find out what I say and adjust your thinking to it. Because if you're a Christian, you have the mind of Christ. I am the truth. And then he says, and I am the life. You want to live? Go my way. Go my way. And then you will live. You won't exist. You won't just be trying to make it, trying to get over, doing the best you can. You'll have life. That is my life. Finally, he says in John 15, verses 1 and verse 5, these words. Are you with me? Are you with me? Verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, watch this then. He says, I am the true vine. That means I am the real deal. Anything that doesn't agree with me is fake news. I am the real deal, okay? I am the true. I'm the authentic one. Anything else is a cheap substitute. I'm the one. Since I am the one, you need to hang out with me, abide. You need to abide in me. And if you abide in me, something staggering will happen with your life. You will become fruity. You'll become fruity. You'll go from no fruit to fruit to more fruit to much fruit to remaining fruit. He covers all those categories in verses 1 through 16, but he says, you got to be hanging out with me. Abide in me. Stay with me. You gotta run with me. You want running buddies? Run with me. And if you run with me, you'll be fruity. Now, the last time I checked, fruit exists for the benefit of somebody else. So when's the last time somebody wanted to take a bite out of your life? Because they see Jesus doing so much in you that they want to get a piece of that. They want to get a piece of that. Everybody like to say, come on, you want a piece of me? Okay? People should want a piece of you because you're fruit. The only fruit that eats itself is rotten. Rotten fruit is the only fruit that eats itself. So if you all about you, only about you, it's about me, myself, and I, that's because you're a rotten Christian. You're rotten fruit because the only fruit that eats itself is rotten. The reason Jesus wants us to be fruitful is he wants us to be impacting the lives of others while he abides in us and gives and impacts us so that it goes to us, through us, and from us so that others are taking a bite out of our lives because of what Christ is doing in us. He wants you to be fruity saints. Okay, now, Okay, you say, okay, I got it. He's the I am. What do I do with this? What do I do with this I am-ness? He is God, personal, complete, eternal, unchanging. He's all that. What do I do with that? Okay, first of all, if you are serious, you're serious. Okay, I want the I am working for me. Since he's all that in a bag of chips, I want the I am for me. When God told Moses, my name is I am, it was in the midst of a contradiction. It was a burning bush. A burning bush is a contradiction. If a bush is on fire and the leaves are staying green, that don't make sense. When he saw the contradiction, he went over to the bush. When he got close to the bush, he heard God call his name. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. The ground on which you stand is holy ground. That's when the verse comes about him hearing God tell him his name. So here it is. The best time to experience the I am-ness of Jesus is when things aren't making sense in your life. The best time to experience the I am-ness of Almighty God in the person of Christ is when things have gone haywire and they don't make sense. When you throw up the question, why, and you're trying to live for God, you're trying to please God. I'm not talking about somebody rebelling. I'm talking about somebody who's trying to please God, and it's all contradictory, and you can't make sense of it. You're in the perfect position to hear him call your name. That is, to reveal himself to you. And what did he reveal? He revealed to him his purpose. He says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. He gave him a reason for living. He gave him his purpose. And let me tell you something about his purpose. His purpose was bigger than anything he could do on his own. Because this was a big deal to tell Pharaoh, let my people go and to lead the children of Israel. So what you get to hear when you go into God's presence, especially when life is not making sense, things are crisscrossing on you, even though you're trying to do the right thing. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10 says that when you know God's name, you trust him. You don't have to see it yet because you know his name. And you know I am means he's already been there and he's come back. And I like the fact in John chapter 18, verses 4 to 9. In John 18, they were getting ready to arrest Jesus, all the Roman soldiers. They come in to arrest Jesus and going to lock him up. And they said, are you he? Are you this Jesus that we're looking for? And Jesus stood there and said, I am. And the Bible says, and when Jesus said, I am, all the soldiers fell back and collapsed on the ground because the I am-ness was overwhelming. I don't know what's after you. I don't know what situation is threatening you. I don't know what difficulty is facing you. But when they run into the great I am, oh, they got to back up. They got to back up because I am only gets taken when he's ready to be taken. So what I'm challenging us today in this name, the I am-ness of God, that he is the God who speaks in the Old Testament, but he is the personal God for you right now. If you've received him as your Savior and you are following him as your Lord, then you have access to the I am-ness of Jesus Christ. I close with the story of the girl whose father came to him and said, darling, it's time for you to open up a bank account with the money we've given you for an allowance, and here's how you write a check, and I want you to start saving. She says, okay, Dad. So she writes out a check to deposit it in the bank. She deposits the check in the bank. She comes back a week later crying. Daddy, 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 it's not working. So what's wrong? The bank. What's wrong with the bank? I deposited my money in the bank, and the bank is going broke. Wait a minute. Say what? I did what you said. I took my savings. I wrote out a check. I sent it to the bank, but the bank is run out of money. The bank is in trouble. The father said, wait a minute. That's the second largest bank in the nation. So it can't be going broke. What makes you think the bank is going broke? She reached in her pocket and pulled out the check. She said, Daddy, look, the check says insufficient funds. Okay, for y'all who didn't get that, let me help you. The check said insufficient funds. It wasn't the bank that didn't have the money. Oh, okay, it takes a while when you, okay. It wasn't the bank that didn't have the money. The girl hadn't deposited enough to cover the check she wrote. So if on the check of your life it reads insufficient joy, insufficient peace, insufficient power, insufficient happiness, insufficient order, insufficient. If the check of your life is reading insufficient funds, it's not because the bank in heaven is empty. It's because you're not depositing to God the commitment that he requires for you to see him pay the debt in full. Because last time I checked, his name is I Am. And that means I am whatever you need. I am whatever is lacking. I am wherever you need me to be if you will simply walk with me.